Father, thank you for this time that you've given to us, and so that we can study your word this morning. I pray as it's open before us, and as we're talking about it, that you will give us an open mind and an open heart to hear the truth that you've revealed to us this morning. Father, help us to want to learn from your word. Help us to want to be more faithful in our service to you. Help us to want to be people that spread your word and bring glory to your name through our lives. We thank you for the good things that you've done for us. And Father, I pray above all that in each of our lives, as we face different challenges and trials and uncertainties that we need to persevere through, I pray that you will help us not to see these things as something to blame you for or to distract us from, but as a faith challenge that we can draw closer to you in and through. We thank you for Jesus, and we pray in his name. Amen. When you think about perseverance, what comes to your mind? You could be like me, and you could think about the 8 months that you had to wait between the season finale of Lost, season 5, and the season premiere, which happened last week. It was a long wait. But, you know, more seriously, when we think about persevering through things, all of us have difficult and real challenges in our lives. Some of us have uncertainty in our lives right now, and we need to learn how to struggle through uncertainty. Uncertainty may arise through job situations that are either not there or are insecure, and we struggle with how to proceed through those, how to persevere through that uncertain job status. Sometimes we have to persevere through or after a bad start. For example, sometimes we'll start something and then it'll stall out a little bit for us and we'll wonder, is this really God's work or not? And because it's uncertain and because it's a bad start or a slow start, if we're not going to persevere through that, typically we'll give up. You know, we might have a food pantry or a clothing bank of some kind, and because one or two people may have taken advantage of the clothing bank, or because some people didn't like the food that was given out or whatever, and there's been complaining about it. And then churches will stop those events and without questioning whether God was really in it or not, and whether they need to persevere through the slow start or the bad start and keep going. Sometimes it's trials that we have to persevere through. And I'm making a joke at the beginning about having to persevere through a wait for Lost, and yet there's people in Haiti who have died. Many hundreds of thousands. Many hundreds of thousands of people left without family, or with a reduced family, or with nowhere to live. And then when you watch the news and such, you hear people blaming them for whatever reason, either because they're black or because of the situation they created or whatever, which is wrong. Those people are persevering through trials. And the trials we face are serious as well. Perhaps not as serious as that, although sometimes in our lives we face challenges related to deaths in families and so on. But we need to persevere through those things. And the people in Haiti, you can hear some great stories about even in the challenges that they're facing, they're persevering through it by working together during the day to remove rubble and pull people out. But then at night, banding together in community, praying, singing songs, focusing on how to get through it together as they look at persevering. But one person in the Bible who had to persevere through uncertainty was the person Joseph. Joseph is pretty popular to talk about when we look at an Old Testament character because of who he is. First of all, there's a lot of material about him. If you look at Genesis, the action in Genesis, once you get beyond the creation and origins narratives, you move to stories about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and then Joseph. And Joseph has 13, 14 chapters dedicated to him in the book of Genesis. So there's a lot of action about Joseph. And when you read the story, one of the things that jumps out to you first and foremost is nothing good happens to this guy until the very end. But then when you go back and reread it, you see that good things were happening to Joseph, But they only made sense, and he was only able to see them as good when he got to the end. In other words, when he persevered through that uncertainty. Now, how did Joseph begin his life? He was a late child in the life of his parents. His father favored him over his other brothers. He was one of 12 brothers. Obviously, these 12 brothers would later be the ancestors of the 12 tribes of Israel. And Joseph was the favored son of his father. So every time his father looked to provide a blessing or to do something nice or to look out for one of his sons, it was always going to be Joseph, not the other brothers. And so you can imagine if you grew up in a family where you felt that there was some favoritism showed, you can imagine what the attitudes were like. The brothers did not really care for Joseph. And they'd be sent off to go work while Joseph got to stay at home and, you know, play games in the family yard and watch a little bit of TV with his mom in the afternoon, then go for a nice leisurely walk in the garden before playing street hockey with the kids in the neighborhood before his brothers rolled in for the night after working a long day. They were upset. Well, one day the brothers are out working and Joseph's father says to him, go and find out what they're up to. Probably because he doesn't trust them. They're actually a couple counties over, you know, if you consider it in modern day times, they're a couple counties over working on some farm that he's not really sure is a good one. So he sends Joseph over to go and see what's going on. And Joseph goes over and his brothers spot him coming. And they see him off in the distance and they say, hey, there's that dreamer. You can catch the contempt in their voice. They're angry. They see him coming. And they devise a plan to deal with Joseph. And the plan actually involves dumping him down a well so that they can get rid of him. And when they see him coming, they concoct this plan. And then they beat him up. And they dump him in the well. And then they take the robe that he was wearing, which was a special gift from his father. And they kill an animal, and they dip it in blood and take it back to their dad. And they say, is this the coat that you gave to your son? They're not even talking about in terms of being their brother. They say, is this your son's coat? And of course it is, and there's a big scene of grief over that. But Joseph ends up being sold into slavery. He goes into Egypt. He goes into a foreign land where he doesn't know anybody or anything that's going on. And he finds himself in the employ of a pretty prominent person in Egypt. And he's going about his business. He's kind of like an estate manager. He's going and working and trying to put a hard day's labor in. But it turns out that the guy who he's working for has a wife who really, really likes Joseph. And so she's trying to pull him in her direction. You can imagine where this is going. You've probably read the story. And Joseph keeps trying to rebuff her approaches. And one day, she just grabs him and says, come with me. And he says, I don't think so. And he takes off. But as he's leaving, he has to wiggle out of his coat, which gets left behind. And because she was rejected, now she's angry. And when her husband comes home, she says, look what this slave boy you brought into this house has done. And so Joseph gets tossed in jail. And then he's in jail. But he makes some connections while he's there. And he's kind of able to rise to the top and provide some leadership and some organization within the jail. And he's able to help out some people that are pretty important to Pharaoh. And these people that are important to Pharaoh were going to be going back to Pharaoh to plead their case. And Joseph says, when it works out for you back with Pharaoh, because he's seen some dreams that they had and had some visions, he says, please remember me when you go back. And so they go back and one guy gets executed. One guy gets his place restored, but he forgets about Joseph. Then it turns out that some more time goes on. Joseph is still in jail, trying to do the best he can. He's obviously falsely in jail while this is going on. But now it turns out that Pharaoh is having some dreams. And when Pharaoh's having some dreams, he wants to get to the bottom of things. And all of a sudden, his person that he freed from jail remembers, oh yeah, there was a guy in jail that helped me a lot, and maybe he can help you too. So he brings Joseph in. Joseph impresses Pharaoh to the point that Pharaoh places Joseph as a leader. And as Joseph is able to start negotiating the Egyptian political scene, he's able to rise to the top, take on a lot of leadership, and lead the people through a very difficult time. Because Pharaoh's dreams were about some situations that were going to arise in Egypt related to famines. And there wasn't going to be food. There was going to be a food shortage, a water shortage. And Joseph was able to lead during this time. And through this, what happened was he recognized that through perseverance, we're able to know certainty during uncertainty. When you look back at Joseph's life and you say, well, there was a lot of up and down in his life and what was going on. But when Joseph's brothers finally come to town because they need some food, and they've been sent to this foreign land to go find some food, Joseph recognizes them and they don't recognize him. Finally, he calls them in. They have a big reveal where he says, I'm the brother that you tried to get rid of. And it's very emotional. And they're afraid. They're actually afraid that because Joseph is so high up in the Egyptian political scene, that maybe he's going to have his brothers killed. But Joseph says to his brothers, Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, you intended to harm me, but God intended these things for good to accomplish what is now being done. Through perseverance, we're enabled to know certainty what God is doing in us, even while things around us look very uncertain. Joseph looked around and saw, when others might have seen chaos, he saw what God was bringing together, because he knew that God was with him, and he kept his focus on God, not on the situation that was unfolding around him, that could have distracted him, would have distracted probably most of us, including myself. But Joseph found certainty in his relationship with God, even though there was uncertainty around him. Moses is another character in the Bible who also persevered and found a way to persevere. In Moses' case, unlike Joseph, who persevered through uncertainty, Moses persevered through a bad and a slow start. Moses stepped up, or God rather called Moses to step up, to be a leader, to go into Egypt, lead God's people out because of the oppression that was going on. And Moses goes in, has a bad start when he kills a guy and kind of sets his leadership off to a bad start. Then Moses finally steps up, takes his brother in with him, and he goes and sees Pharaoh, and he demands that Pharaoh release God's people so that they can go into the desert and worship. And Pharaoh says, I don't think that's going to happen. So he sends word to the overseers over the Hebrews who were working for Pharaoh and says, I want you to make it twice as hard for them. I want you to keep the same quota for the bricks that they're making, but I don't want you to give them any straw. I want you to tell them they got to go find their own straw. And then they got to bring that straw back, and then they got to make the same number of bricks every day. That's just going to be the way it is. And so you can imagine the Israelites hearing, first of all, about this Savior who was going to come in to take them out so that they could worship their God. Now, because of this guy, their workload is double. But somehow, through all that, Moses, who might have given up at that point and said, well, this isn't for me, or he might have made an excuse and said, people are too angry to really do what we need to do at this point, or he might have looked around and said, obviously God wasn't with me, I just thought he was. Instead, he persevered through this. And he kept going back to Pharaoh. He kept trying to do God's mission that God had in place for him. And he finally got Pharaoh through a series of events called the plagues, which God was involved in. And he finally got to the point where he could lead the people out. And they got out into the wilderness. And there were several incidents out there that caused a lot of trouble and a lot of chaos and caused the people to have to wander for 40 years instead of going straight to the promised land. And even Moses himself created some problems where he wasn't able to enter the promised land. He was just going to be able to take the people up to that point. But through all of this, through that slow start, through that bad start, Moses persevered. Perseverance enables us to finish strong. Moses didn't give up because he knew that God was with him. He knew that God was guiding him. He knew that God was directing him. And even though it looked difficult, and even though it was challenging, and even though there were a lot of different personalities for him to have to manage to get through this, he knew what God was doing in and through him, and he committed to that, and he persevered through the challenges and the difficulties, and that perseverance enabled him to finish strong. When we're faced with uncertainty, perseverance allows us to see certainty. When we're faced with a slow start or a bad start, perseverance allows us to slog through that and finish strong. Then we come to James chapter 1 in the New Testament. And James says some great things. I'm actually going to read the entirety of these verses in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. James says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. James teaches us that trials test our faith, and through that testing, perseverance is created. Perseverance allows us to look at the trials that we face, not in an effort to blame God for what we're going through, not in an effort to say God's not really with me, or not in an effort to try to absolve our responsibility to get through it, but to say, in what I'm going through, knowing that God is with me, how can I trust Him and rely on Him and be drawn closer to Him in what I'm dealing with right now? This is what James is talking about. This is why James says, consider it joy when you face trials. Not because the trial is awesome and so much fun and it's always great to be in a trial, and not because Christians should run around asking God to bring trials into their life, but because the end result of persevering through a trial will always be to bring us closer to God. That's what perseverance is. It's leveraging our relationship with God to help us walk through a trial. This is why James is considered pure joy. It's joyful because we have an opportunity to deal more directly with God. Sometimes we cause a trial in our life, and the joy that's in that helps us to see that we need to be pulled back towards God. Sometimes a trial happens just because it's random, and that's the way things are. The trial is joyful because it helps us to see how much we rely on God, if we in fact really do trust God in our life, or if we trust ourselves. James is teaching us that we only grow by facing these tests and trials head on and persevering through them. James says that perseverance enables us to mature in our faith and to become complete. As we face life without becoming bitter about what's happening to us or complaining about the way things should be, but they're not, and when we recognize that as we walk through life, we need to keep our trust in God and our focus on Him relentlessly, and we keep moving forward with that focus in our lives, it brings us closer to God. Our faith becomes more mature. It's not an infant's faith that expects everything to line up for us simply because we're a Christian. It's not a faith that looks at things that happen to us as being totally beyond our control. But our faith matures because we know that God is with us, and that whatever we're facing, as Paul spells out in Romans 8, all those things that cannot separate us from the love of Christ, that's what a maturing, persevering faith recognizes, that no matter what situation we're in, no matter what happens to us, we know that God is with us, and that God helps us, and that if we walk with Him, we can grow through the trial. Our faith can mature. We can be joyful, and we become complete. We progress through perseverance. Sometimes we're tempted, I am too, to look at situations that we're in that we have to persevere through, and we just want God to take everything away from us. But God wants us to know, more than believing that He has the power to do that, He wants us to know that He's with us. And I'm not talking about knowing that based on because we read a verse in the Bible that told us that. God wants us to know, as we know Him, to know that He is with us. So we know that He can take away a trial. But do you want to know that God has that power, or do you want to know God? See, I want to know God. And to know God is going to require me to walk through that trial, to walk through that uncertainty, to walk through the challenges of life, the bad starts, the slow starts, the bogging down, to keep walking, knowing that God is with me, and that as I persevere through that, I'm coming closer to Him. So when we look around, it becomes so tempting to look at these situations around us that we're all caught up in, and to feel sometimes that that's all that there is. That things are never going to change, that things will never get better, that we're stuck in a rut, that we can't ever find a way forward, and to give up. That's not perseverance. Perseverance calls us to recognize God, to remember God, to love God, to live with God, to follow God, to serve God. And when we're focusing on uncertainty, and when we're focusing on how we started, and when we're focusing on our trials, we're not focusing on God. So the way for us to persevere is simply to do this, to focus on what God is doing right now in us, in you. Where is God leading you? What is God doing within you? What is God teaching you? What are you learning through uncertainty in your life? What are you learning based on the way things have started or stopped in your life? What are you learning about God through the trials that you're facing? What is God doing in you? He calls us to persevere. We've seen the examples of these great men of faith, Joseph and Moses in the Old Testament, and how they persevered. They hung in there because they knew that what they were doing was from God. And then James knows the same thing, the brother of Jesus, and he says, persevere. When you're tested and you get through the testing, through the trial, you learn perseverance. And perseverance leads you to a mature faith. Now, this isn't easy. And I hope no one thinks that this is easy, but this is what God calls us to do. If we want to truly know God rather than knowing about God, we need to take life head on. Find the challenges that we're in. Realize that we're in a challenge and stop trying to hide under a rock or find some magical way to dispense with these things and find a way through them, because we're not going through these things alone. We're going through them with God. God promises to be with us. He gives us His Spirit as a pledge that He will be with us to the end of the age. And then Jesus Himself, Matthew 28, verse 20, promises to be with us how long? Until the end of the age. He's with us. We're not alone. We don't face challenges alone. We don't face uncertainty alone. We don't face our situations alone. We may feel alone, but that's a call to persevere from God, because God's reminding us in those moments of fear to come back to Him, to rely on Him, to trust in Him, to persevere for His sake, for a greater knowledge of Him. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this time that we've had this morning, and I pray that You will help us to learn perseverance. Help us to stop looking for easy or magical ways out of situations, but help us, Father, to throw ourselves upon You, to trust You, to love You, and to seek a knowledge of You. We thank You for Jesus. We pray in His name. Amen.